We come to the fifth word. This is from John chapter 19. And I'll read verses 28 to 29. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, "In order to fulfill the scripture, I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so the soldiers, put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. The words that Jesus utters in the original language would have been one word, which we have as "I thirst." It's a very simple statement. It could seem strange that John includes such a simple statement of such a basic human need, but he includes it nonetheless. When we labour, when we're hot, we thirst. When we walk the dog, we thirst. Even if we do nothing, our bodies thirst. So what is the significance about Jesus saying, "I thirst"? Well, firstly, the statement for water merely indicates that he is human. He's not Superman. He doesn't have some sort of superpower. He's not endowed with superhuman strength. He is a man. He is human, like you and I. And if we were to endure crucifixion, we too would thirst. Now, this may seem like a strange thing to note, but we must see that Jesus is fully human, as well as fully God. But in this instance, we see his humanity. It is clear as day. Christ was exactly like us in human form, except that he did not sin. He was like us even in his thirst on the cross. Now, were Jesus not human, he could not die for us. He could never be our substitute if he were not like one of us. And we cannot imagine what it was for God to take on human form. We here cannot comprehend what, for example, the Queen or the President of the United States do. We cannot fully understand their role and their responsibilities. How much less can we understand God, who is surpassing in power and in greatness, whose responsibilities we could never grasp, really? And yet God chooses to become fully human, to become one of us. He stoops very, very low. He is born as a helpless human baby, who then grows to suffer at the hands of those he has come to save, and then dies for them so that they might live. This is a remarkable truth. Jesus is fully human. He is God in the flesh. There is much more we could explore on this, but John, while never denying Jesus' humanity at all, he clearly tells us why Jesus says, "I thirst." Let me read the verse again. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, "In order to fulfill the scripture, I am thirsty." John gives us a reason. Jesus is intentionally, purposely fulfilling the scripture. And John's note is like an editorial comment. It points us, it makes us sit up and pay attention to what Jesus is just about to say. And this isn't the first time nor the only time that John writes of Jesus fulfilling scripture. Earlier, John noted that when the soldiers shared Jesus' garments, they were fulfilling Psalm 22, verse 18, which reads, they divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. And a few verses later, after Jesus says, I'm thirsty, when a soldier thrusts the spear into his side but does not break his legs, John writes, these things occurred so that the scripture might be fulfilled. And quoting from Psalm 34, he says, none of his bones shall be broken. So when Jesus says, I thirst, the scripture he fulfills comes from Psalm 69, verse 21. It doesn't speak so much of those words themselves being uttered, but of the circumstances in which they are uttered. Psalm 69, verse 21, they gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. They don't give Jesus water to quench his thirst. They put a sponge full of the wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. Sour wine, mind you, vinegar. They put vinegar to quench his thirst. Marcus Sloan comments about John's editorial note. John saw in those words a clear prophetic description of the thirst on the cross and the response which it evoked. He could not pass over such a fact in silence. It was one more proof that God was in control. Do you see, in the past, God had, in his providence, the Psalms had been written. They spoke of a suffering servant. And hundreds of years later, here is God's suffering servant fulfilling the scriptures, fulfilling what had been sung of him many years earlier. It was one more proof that God was in control. And yet Jesus' words, I thirst, also speak of spiritual yearning. Keith has just reminded us of how Jesus has intimacy with the Father and the Spirit, and he experiences forsakenness. His words, sometimes we might echo, why, God, God, why have you forsaken me? It speaks of spiritual thirst to be quenched by a relationship, by fellowship with God himself. And such spiritual yearning is spoken of throughout the scriptures. It's often sung in the Psalms. We sing, as a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Or Psalm 143, I stretch out my hands to you, God. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. And such spiritual thirst exists because we were made to be with God, to walk with him. But it has been marred, it has been damaged, it has been cut off because of our sin. Our thirst, our spiritual desire for God exists because sin has cut us off from the living water. We thirst until we find quenching in him, until we drink deep from Jesus, who said, those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. Never be thirsty. Can you imagine how much easier that would be to go around life never being thirsty or never being hungry, aside from saving a lot of money and a lot of time? Your body would not waste away as it does. It would not need replenishing. Imagine our spiritual thirst being quenched forever. The thief on the cross would have experienced spiritual thirst for eternity had not the Lord forgiven him and promised him paradise, where he would be with Jesus and he would be fulfilled. Jesus is the only one who can quench our spiritual thirst. He leads his flock. He can lead you and I to green pastures and beside still waters to restore our souls. And one day he will feed all who drink from him on the boundless plains of heaven and refresh us from wells of living water. That's a promise in Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. But such living water could only be released for us to drink if he first endured the spiritual thirst caused by our sin. And he didn't endure this thirst upon the cross. He knows what we experience because he is fully human and fully God. And so his promise to you and I still stands today. For what he has promised, he can keep. He says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. For those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." There's a wonderful sense that not only do we find satisfaction when we drink deep from God, from Jesus, but our satisfaction overflows and people around us will see. And people around us will ask, "Where can I get a drink of water? Where can I drink what you're drinking?" Have you ever been to a restaurant and seen a beautiful meal that somebody is enjoying and go, "What did you order? Where can I get that?" How much more wonderful for people to look at us and go, "Where can I drink and be satisfied?" Friends, let us drink from Jesus and be quenched completely and utterly. Let us pray. Son of man, who entered our mortal life to be one with us, we bless you for the love with which you stooped down to the level of our need. And though the reward of your self-giving was a cross, we rejoice in knowing that through the grief and pain and thirst, the victory was won in our humanity. And the glorious hope of our salvation is in you, who is both God and man. Lord Jesus, satisfy the longings of our hearts, we humbly pray. Let us drink deeply from you, the living water, and we long for the day when we will be with you forever. Amen. Amen.